Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. Read any teaching, the faith movement, about anybody's teaching. Most people here who've been with the Lord any length of time, how many of you have known what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are? Okay. Well, you need to revisit it if you're not living it. Amen. If it's not a day-to-day part of your life, if you're not moving word of knowledge and word of wisdom and prophecy, and let me tell you what, I am asking for tongues though, because wouldn't it be awesome to be in these other nations and not need an interpreter? And we've seen that a little bit in the Philippines one time. I was talking, at first they had an interpreter, pretty soon everybody was understanding without an interpreter, so they had all had the gift of interpretation, came on the whole place. So that was really awesome, because I talk fast and it's really hard for an interpreter to hang with me, but we go there. Anyway, in Brazil I realized, wow, if I had the gift of tongues, then I could go speak to all these people. Literally they had like five people to one interpreter for these prayer groups. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll just do what you want. So there was no interpreter at this one place. They told us to pray for the staff and everybody at the place. And I'm just trying to be obedient, okay? I'm there, I'm submitting to the authority there, and they're like, go out and pray for everybody, and that's not overly my thing, but I'm like, okay, they told me to do it, I'll do it. Well, usually, you know, I do heal the brokenhearted and see the people's past and all this stuff. Well, it's like, can't do that because I don't have an interpreter to say what's going on. So I just decided to obey. So I started praying, and everybody was just falling out. It was like, I don't know what's happening for sure, but they're like, so then when we went to the meeting that night and Randy Clark was speaking, they pulled me and Karen to the front of who was speaking the first night? I think Stacy Campbell. They put Karen and I at the front of this fire tunnel because everybody was falling down when they got around us, and we couldn't speak the language. So I figure Holy Spirit's going to have to do this, you know, which how many know he can do this? Amen. But it was seeing so much hunger and seeing all these people, the 70 people on this prayer team from all over the world came together that Stacy had invited and to see them just such hungry people receiving impartation, receiving hunger. And I just want to wake this church up. I just want to wake us up. We need to be doing the God stuff. Amen? We need to be doing the God stuff. And we need to be living holy lives. We need to have a heart to be sanctified. Amen? We need to be doing it for one reason. It's because he's worthy. Amen? And it's because he put his Holy Spirit in us for this purpose and this intention. And so the Lord put in my heart really strong, you know, that I was supposed to read this other person's books this summer. That's for my growing and maturity. And for this place to really spend this summer really focusing on sonship, on being his son. And so I'm going to read a little bit about that this morning. And I asked Holy Spirit, woke me up at 6. Because, you know, there's a lot about the Holy Spirit. And Friday night, when we got together, Friday nights, if you want to come, from 7 to 8, there's a teaching. And then 8 o'clock on, who knows, we're going to live out that teaching. We might look into that book some. This Friday night was pretty cool. And one thing the Lord had us do, which I really encourage you all to do, we may do it before we leave today. He actually had each of us take the time to thank the Holy Spirit. Take the time to ask Holy Spirit, if it was our situation, to forgive us for not thinking about him very often and not realizing that he actually lives inside of us. What an awesome thing. And that we want to yield to him. We want to serve him. We want to serve him where we're in our schools. We want to serve him at our jobs. We want him to flow out of us. And so we actually took about 15 minutes in soaking kind of music, and everybody just talked to Holy Spirit. And I encouraged everybody, do that. You know, like I said, I don't want to be a trendy Christian that, okay, we went through the Good Morning Holy Spirit season, you know? And I do recommend Benny Hinn's book, Good Morning Holy Spirit. I actually like that. That's years and years ago when God really introduced me in a powerful way to the Holy Spirit. And I do believe in speaking to the Son and the Father. And you don't need to get it all confused. It's one God, amen? And you can go to our teaching online. We'll show you how that works. But how many would know, like, it's nice that my sons know that John and I are their parents, right? Like, Mitchell and Michael know that John and I are their parents. But it's nice sometimes when they say, hey, Mom. And it's nice sometimes when they say, hey, Dad. But if they always walked in and say, hey, parents, you know, that would be okay because we're their parents. And on most things we agree, not near as much as Holy Spirit, Father, and Father, Son, Holy Spirit agree perfectly. I won't say that John and I have reached that point in oneness, but on most important things we agree. Amen? But there's still something about my sons talking to me and my sons talking to their dad. And so I feel that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when I say God, I'm talking about Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay. So if you're here and I use the word God, I'm talking about Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But I also recognize the Father, amen, and the Son and Jesus. Whoa, love Jesus. Oh, and Holy Spirit. And so I think some people, as we're introducing this whole idea of sonship, need to recognize who he is, who the Holy Spirit is, and become more acquainted with him. He's actually the closest one to you. He's closer to you than anyone else in your life if you're born again. Amen? If you're born again, he's closer to you than anyone else. Amen? So if you're born again, he is the one who lives inside of you. That's as close as it gets. Amen? And so if we get that revelation, he actually lives inside of me. God lives inside of me by his Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity of God. Amen? And so so I just encourage you to get reacquainted with him if you've kind of let it go to the wayside. Because like I said, I see Christianity teaching so trendy. Like we're in a season of everything's Holy Spirit. Then we're in a season of everything is this. And then we're in a season of, I don't want to be in a season where everything is one trend and then I go to the next trend. I want to build my relationship with God. I want to be built up. You know, even the church where living stones being built together. And how can you be bored? How can you be bored when there's this much that God's poured out on most of us to continually walk into and continually fellowship with God? There's scripture says we fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I just want to encourage us as God's taking us through a revisit. For many of us, it's a revisiting of the Holy Spirit. But you need to revisit who he is if you're not moving in the gifts of the Spirit on a regular basis. If you are, then come and be a part of encouraging other people. Come and be a part of praying for people and helping other people walk in that. Amen? So with anything, when you're looking this stuff up, it's like, okay, Lord, well, show me where to start with this. And Friday night we did that. Then we did where we all prayed and we did impartation for what Karen and I received when we were in Brazil. And then we all asked Holy Spirit for a fresh baptism, and power of God hit everybody, and everybody was out on the floor just about, and we had worship, and it was an awesome time. And then Sunday mornings, I'm going to do a little bit more of the teaching, unless the Lord show me to do something else. And it's in Romans 8, if you want to look about sonship, where he says it's the son, the whole world waits for the sons and the daughters of God to be revealed. The whole world groans. So the Holy Spirit, it calls it filled people, like John the Baptist was filled in his mother's womb. So I looked up filled. Filled means to be influenced by. So when you see where the Holy Spirit was, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You see that a lot before Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, right? And if you look that word up, it's to be influenced by. So they were influenced by the Holy Spirit. But every time it talks about us as believers, we're baptized in. And the word baptized means to be completely submerged. So we live a life where we're supposed to be completely, really hidden in Christ, completely. Think of a glass of water as being Holy Spirit, if you want to say that. And if you're going to be submerged in it, you're going to disappear. And it's going to surround you completely. Amen? You're going to become baptized, completely baptized and submerged in the Holy Spirit. How many want that? How many want to live the kind of life where it's Holy Spirit, and I'm going to walk that out? So when you look at the things on Holy Spirit, it talks about in Matthew 3:11, John's talking about, he indeed baptized with the water to repentance, but the one who is coming after me, who is stronger than me, of whom he is not able to even tie his sandals, he says, he will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. Amen? So we need to realize Jesus Christ is going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, everybody likes the word fire, but really study fire. Fire is sent to get rid of what doesn't need to be there. Fire is really sanctification. And there is the fire of God, but the thing that is in the way of the Holy Spirit being seen in all of us when we're born again, right? It's the sons and daughters, we're born again in the Spirit of God. It's our flesh. It's our flesh that's in the way. It's our intellect. It's the things that get in the way to say, oh, God wouldn't do that. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I don't know if that'll work. And that gets in the way. And so the fire of God, the sanctification, it kind of comes. How many know it includes trials? How many else, he says, count it all joy, your various trials? How many know that's like, yay, scripture. Thank you for that spiritual law, Lord. We love that one. Thank you. Thank you for that, that we'll have trouble tomorrow and that we're going to count it all joy. But he means it because he knows, look, when these trials come, if you hang on to me and you die to flesh and you listen to Holy Spirit, you're going to become someone really led of the Spirit of God. You're going to become someone filled, really overflowing with the Spirit of God. And what's going to happen is this world will lose all of its hold on you and you'll really enjoy being in the kingdom of God. Amen. Where it can't be shaken. How many know we're living in a nation right now that's being shaken? Amen? How many know that it's amazing to have this many people of different ages and different nationalities sitting together in church and different social people with PhDs down to people with fourth grade educations? It's amazing. And I think God is going to shake up a little bit of everybody finding people that's just like them to be comfortable with instead of learning how to love people who you normally wouldn't necessarily love and how to be changed into his likeness and begin to appreciate everybody in the body. Amen? And so I think we're just a little tiny microscopic testing for that, that God has decided we would be good candidates. So let's see where it talks about Jesus. It goes on about whoever blasphemes. Okay, it's in Luke. Luke 4. Let's go to Luke 4. Okay. Now, Jesus was just baptized in the Jordan, and Holy Spirit fell on him, and you could see it look like a dove. So let's see what happens after we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's see what happens after we ask God to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, because everybody likes to skip this part. And this is Jesus showing us. Remember, Jesus is the Son of God, and he's the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man because he came in the flesh. You can look at Hebrews and see why he had to do that. But he's revealing to us a new creation that God is going to pour out on all of us when we find Christ. So you really, when you look at Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you look at someone who's gone before us, and that's why he's the firstborn of many brethren. He's the first to come forth of many that God's going to have the Holy Spirit in flesh. Amen? So when we look at Jesus, we need to really look at him as, wow, that's what somebody should look like who has, they live in the flesh, but God lives inside of them. And that's why he's called the firstborn of many brethren. And the firstborn there means first to come forth. He's the first to come forth from God. He's the first to put on flesh. Jesus Christ is the first to put on flesh and have the Spirit of God living in him. Amen? And so that's the big yay about being a Christian. That's the biggest deal about being a Christian. That's where the rubber meets the road. If I'm a real Christian, then I recognize, oh, I'm flesh. I get that. But God lives inside of me, and he's becoming one with my spirit, and I'm renewing my mind with the word of God, so my souls get to understand what's happening. Amen? And Jesus didn't have to do that part. I don't believe Jesus did. Jesus was God. Amen? So he knew the word of God. He is the word of God. But he did reveal to us what it looks like for God to live inside of flesh. And Jesus chose to obey the Holy Spirit. Amen? He chose to lay down his deity. The word's clear. How did he do that? He did nothing as God. He did everything as a man who has God inside of him. Amen? As a demonstration of what we should look like. And we need to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John again and really study it and say, this is what I should be doing. This is what I should look like. But look what he did when he very first starts this adventure. And full of, Luke 4, and full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan, his baptism, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Well, the Bible says I'm a son or daughter of God when I'm led by the Spirit. So where is the first place that I'm going to go? The wilderness. How many are ready to get out of the wilderness? Amen? Well, part of getting out of the wilderness is recognizing what it is. Amen? And our Tuesday nights is to help you get out of the wilderness. And our Tuesday nights is to help to get the junk of the enemy out of you. So getting out of the wilderness is easier. Amen? So don't forget Tuesdays. Also, we do have our youth group now on Tuesdays. I really want to train up powerful men and women of God who can handle the temptations of college and handle the temptations that they're going to see in their schools and be able to be safe. Amen. Be able to be safe because of who they're hidden in. Amen. So Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. 40 days. How many know we shouldn't have to be there more than 40 days? Come on, some of you have been there 40 years, all right? You're like those guys who got out in the desert and just kept murmuring and complaining and not getting what God was trying to get through your head. Amen? So I encourage you, make this the year that you're going to come out of that wilderness. Right, Michael? Yes. Michael's like, oh, I went back in full force. Okay. Listen, he ate nothing in those days until it ended, and afterwards he was hungry. So he was being prepared for that wilderness. God was preparing him. He was fasting. He was praying. He was seeking the Lord. So after I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, there should be a season of great hunger for the things of God, great hunger to hear from God, great hunger to know God. You do not want to go through the temptations without first being extremely hungry for God and spending intimate, powerful time with God. And I just encourage us, we need to be refilled all the time, amen? We need that hunger stirred all the time. We need to wake ourselves up and say, I'm going to be as hungry for God as I was 20 years ago when I found him. I'm going to be as hungry for God. You need, how many know you need to actually ask Holy Spirit to make you hungry? How many know you need to not be bored with God and the things of God? And if you are, you're the one missing it, not God. There's so much more to all of this. I can't even imagine boredom. I don't even have time to begin to read and do all the things he's opening my heart to. All right. Now, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, speak to this stone that it become a loaf. Now, we have a really good teaching on this. It's the three tests you must pass. And there's also another scripture that backs us up. There's three ways the enemy attacks you. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Amen? So you're going to watch Jesus go through those three tests. Everyone here, if you are not out walking closely with God and being led by the Spirit and doing the kind of things you see Jesus doing, then you might be hung up on one of these tests. Amen? Or all of these tests. So the first one is the lust of the flesh. And there's another scripture that says, in the world, these are the three lusts, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then when you look at this and study it, it's the same exact thing Jesus went through. So here's the enemy. He's hungry in the natural right now, okay? So think of this. Maybe you're not hungry. We're in America. Very few of us get hungry, amen? I went to Brazil. They fed me and fed me and fed me. The only time I'm ever hungry is in Uganda and India because I don't want to eat that. So that's the only time I ever get hungry. For natural food. I mean, I know some of you are hungry if you go like 1 hour past the buffet, but that's not real hunger, okay? That's like flesh having a temper tantrum. But think about it. What could you be lacking? Maybe finances. Maybe that girlfriend or that boyfriend. What is it that you're lacking that your flesh is calling out for, okay? So that's the temptation. So the enemy knew he was really hungry. The enemy knows what you're really lacking. He knows where you're really hungry. He knows what he's even coming against you with. Okay, so here's the devil says, if you are the Son of God. So what's the enemy always going to do? He's going to make you question if you're really born again. He's going to make you question. He's going to try to get you to prove using the things of God that you're okay with God. All right? And it's a hard one. I mean, the enemy to go ahead and make the person fall out. Go ahead and make this happen. Make that happen. And God wants us to only be led by His Spirit. Amen? He doesn't want us to be led by trying to prove anything to anybody anytime. And I don't know about you, but the man-pleasing and trying to prove stuff is something that seems to attack us. You know, especially if you're building a business or building a church or kids in school and there's other new kids, you guys are starting a new school. Oh, fun, huh? And so that is, if the enemy likes to get us in those places where we're uncomfortable and not sure. And what we have to do is we have to know if we're born again of the Spirit of God, amen, and we're being changed into His likeness and we love His word and we're hungry for Him, then we know that we can rest assured that I belong to God. Amen. I belong to God. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and I am not going to have to prove to anybody that that's true. Amen. By the fruit, they should know it. But Satan wants to make you question your walk with God, the power in God. And so Satan says, speak to the stone that it become a loaf. Now, Jesus is extremely hungry. I've never done a 40-day fast, and I pray that I go through my entire life and never have to. Amen? So I never want to be that hungry. But he's extremely hungry. But some people have been extremely broke. Some people have been extremely afraid. So in that extreme place, what is the enemy whispering to you? What is he? Oh, buy this lottery ticket and it's going to handle everything. Oh, that must be God. Amen? Oh, go ahead and take that job. Maybe they have no integrity or anything, but you know, that God's opening the door. Oh, it doesn't matter if that person doesn't know God. Go ahead, you're lonely. You can convert them. Go ahead and marry them. Does everybody get what I'm saying? Satan's going to come into the area where he knows that you're hungry. He's going to come into the area where he knows that you want a need met. And he's going to offer you something to fill that. And he's going to deal with your flesh. But Jesus says, it has been written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word of God. Can I tell you this? Get out your sword. If God himself, who is the word of God, uses the word of God to stop the enemy, you will not stop the enemy with screaming and yelling and dancing. And I said, well, my praise is a weapon. Well, yeah, my praise is to God. But whatever. But the bottom line is this. If the enemy is attacking, I had better have God's word coming out of my mouth. And the power is when his word comes out of his spirit in me, brings that word that I've planted in my heart by reading his word, amen? And the Holy Spirit in me brings that word into my mouth and releases it, it stops the enemy. It stops the enemy, amen? And so my relationship with God, I really know that I know who he is, and I speak, it is written, amen? And I encourage you, if you're going through a trial, get in the word and find every scripture about that trial. Find every scripture and write a few of them down and use them. And I know at first you're going to use them from up here, okay? There's no power up here, okay? There's no power in my intellect to do spiritual things. But if I'm at least training myself as I'm hanging on to God and saying, God, be real to me. God, help me. Be honest with God. Just be honest with God. Everybody's at different places. Amen? Everybody's at different places. Amen? Amen. So just be real and honest with God. Say, God, you know, I don't feel you right now, or I don't know anything right now. I know your word says this. God, please make this real. Guess what? He's going to love that prayer that comes from someone who's sincere, much more than he's going to like the self-righteous prayer of quoting off scripture, but having nothing in conversation with God that's real. Amen? Just be where you are. Husbands, be where you are. Wives, be where you are. He's made us different. Amen? He's just made us different. So just enjoy God the way you enjoy God. I'm a woman minister, so I can really relate more to the women sometimes and how we think all over and handle things. But I have an engineer husband, people. We just celebrated, even though I was in Brazil, so we celebrate for one. We just had our 39th anniversary. 39 years. 39, and happier now than ever. And going through hardships that most marriages do not make. The loss of our daughter when she was 7, and my son sick for years, and he's totally fine now, praise God. But those are the things that destroy marriages, they say. They say we should have less than 1% chance of a good marriage. And we have an awesome marriage, and we're looking at 39 years. Praise God. All by the grace of God. I guarantee you, if we didn't know God, we would not be together today. I guarantee you. And I'm so thankful what Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, he lost. Amen. He lost. He lost big. The devil's going to attack you, but if he attacks big, he loses big if you hang on to God. He attacked Jesus big, and he lost big, didn't he? And so we need to recognize this, that we need to know God's word. We need to know God's word. We need to have it real. We need to put it in our heads by reading the word, renew our minds. But we need to have this relationship with God that we can say, oh, Holy Spirit, bring to mind, what should I say? What should I do now? You know, when the devil attacks, how many know it's usually very fearful, right? He tries to get you to respond to what he's doing. Satan wants you to react to what he's doing. God wants you to be led by his Spirit. Okay, and pretended faith is when I respond with everything I know. Real faith is when I'm like, okay, God, show me what to do. Give me wisdom. Show me what to do. Show me what to say. Show me how to say it. Okay? And so we want to be those people who begin to put into practice these things. So if you go into work tomorrow and there's some big crazy thing going on, you're like, oh, your first reaction of your flesh is going to be, oh, I didn't do it, or how do I do it? Just learn to stop that, amen, and just say, God, give me wisdom. Holy Spirit, show me what to say. Holy Spirit, show me how to do this. Holy Spirit, give me strategy, amen? I feel this. The Lord's like, he wants us to once again, some of us, first time for some, others revisit, really recognizing that Holy Spirit is the wisdom of God. Amen? Really recognizing, we take him everywhere we go, whether we recognize that or not, we take him everywhere we go. So we need to begin to appreciate that relationship so wonderfully. What an awesome privilege that God lives inside of me by Holy Spirit, amen? So that I'm never alone. I'm never having to deal with things based on my flesh. I'm never having to react, amen? Never. Parents, with kids, a lot of times you react. You react to what they're doing, how they're doing, handling something. God's like, no. Stop reacting with your flesh. Just stop. Even if you got a nice, quiet voice and you're reacting, it still needs to be Spirit-led. Amen? Lord, show me what to do. Show me what to do. Anything the enemy still has in you is going to be triggered many times by your children. And everybody said, amen. And so we need to learn, especially as God's getting these triggers out. And wherever the enemy has used you to hurt your children, when you get free, not before you get free, because then you'll do it over and over and they won't believe you. But when you get free, go and tell them how sorry you are. And lay hands on them and pray for them, or pray for them from a distance, that God would heal where you hurt them. Amen? Come on, we're real around here. I mean, I was real big in the faith, but my son was sick and it was fear, and I thought it was faith. And believe me, when you think it's faith, but it's fear, you say all the scriptures, you do everything because you're so desperate for, I was so desperate for him to be healed. I was so desperate. I didn't want him to die. Was there anything wrong with a mom not wanting her son to die? So why do we judge? We've got to quit judging people because we're doing the best we can with where we're at. But if it's not real faith, it's not going to produce what faith produces. Amen? And so in love, we can begin to say, hey, you know, that's fear-based. That's not faith-based. And a prophet did try to tell me that. And I thought, she doesn't know who she's talking to. But the Lord, finally, I got to a place where I was, this is fear. I'm afraid my son's going to die. You know, they're trying to say he has cancer. They never put cancer on him, but that's another story. But the bottom line was, it was fear, fear, fear. This can't happen to me. This can't happen to me. How many know anything can happen to you because the devil's real? But how many know God is like, no, we're in relationship. You don't have to be in relationship where, you know, whoever is in relationship. You're in relationship right where you are. You're in relationship right where you are. If Holy Spirit lives in you, if you've asked God, Jesus Christ, to be Lord of your life, ask Holy Spirit to come in, ho, and ask him to fill you. You are in relationship with God. Amen? You are in relationship with God. And you need to have a I would rather have a faith-based conversation with God, even when all hell's breaking loose and everything in me wants to be full of fear. I do not want to spiritualize my walk with God in such a way as it's fear-based. Amen? Because that's how people get mocking religious spirits. But I want to sit right where I am and say, God, help me. God, did you see what the doctors are saying? God, did you see what's going on? God, help me. Not just mouth off a bunch of scriptures, right? And say, God, give me that scripture. Give me the, okay, by his stripes he's healed, by his stripes he's healed, by his, God, is that the scripture? That's the scripture, okay. By his stripes he's healed. How much more powerful is when by his stripes he's healed, when God gives it to me in conversation with Holy Spirit, versus me knowing every scripture verse on healing and sprouting them off like a machine gun. Amen? God is looking for relationship. He's not looking for how much Bible knowledge you have. Whoa, he's busting through some people on this. One sincere word spoken at the command of the Holy Spirit is more powerful than everything you've ever put in your mind from the scriptures. Amen? Amen. But we need to recognize it's about relationship. Being led by the Spirit of God is about a relationship, and I need to take the time to recognize I am in that relationship if I'm born again. Everybody in here who is born again is in that relationship. Amen? But we need to get rid of pretended faith and trying to act like everybody else and just sit down with God. So if you go into work tomorrow and there's a big surprise, I'm not prophesying this, so I'm not looking at anybody, okay? But you need to stop and you're like, okay, God, we got to talk. We got to talk, God. What am I going to do about this? This isn't right, or this isn't truthful. Okay, so I believe as we're learning to be led by the Spirit, obviously we're not going to get past the first point on this today, so this will be maybe into the winter preaching, but that's okay. I want you to get this. God is calling us back to a place, and some of us for the first time, where it's more important to have a real, real talk with him. It doesn't matter if you're 5 years old, if you know God, or if you're 90 years old, if you know God. There was a guy on this trip who was 80, and he was doing as much as anybody else and was had more energy than most of us. So God really gave me a lot of hope for until I die, I'm going to keep going after God and doing what he wants. Amen? But I just want everybody, I want us to calm down all the blah, 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 and begin to recognize it's okay. I don't have to have the same walk. I have the walk with God that I have. And that's all anybody can have. Is the walk of God that you have. You have the walk with God, whether you're 12 years old or and you're really born again. My daughter had a powerful walk with God before she went to be with the Lord. Amazing for 7 years old, how spiritual she was. It was amazing. So this isn't limited by age, and that's why I don't want our children's church or our youth group to be limited to hit knowledge. Not that it ever has been, but we're going to really help all of us develop this powerful, real relationship and communicating with the real God. Amen? And then be led by him. Oh, okay, God, you want me to do that? Yeah, I want you to do that. Okay, that seems silly, God. Just do it. Well, what if it's not him talking? Well, it's good to find out if somebody else is talking in there. Amen? And then come on Tuesday nights, we'll help get him out. Amen? Just pretending, I can't talk, I can't trust. No, I've got to trust God. Let me tell you this. If you only want the Holy Spirit, you'll only get the Holy Spirit. The key is get free enough to know that's what you only want. Amen. I know that I am protected from deception in that I only want the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to have a big anything. I'm not trying to have any. I don't care. I passed all that. Amen. I'm like, Lord, we'll do what you want, how you want. All I know for sure that I want is what you want. That's all I know, God. That's all I know. I only want what you want. When you can get to that, and what he wants is always going to line up with the word, by the way. And when you get to that, you don't have to even think about the end. And let me say, if something's in your heart for you to be deceived, then you're going to get deceived. But God's so faithful, he'll pull you out of it. Amen? Amen? He's faithful even when we're not. I can't live my life trying to guard myself. Or I'll say an infant Christian. Amen? So Lord, you show me. You help me. And so we're going to finish this morning. And so next week we'll get into the second, unless we do it on Tuesday or something or Friday. But so the first thing to get, when I'm in the wilderness, the very first thing, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm being led by God. He's leading me first to a place of hunger for him and a desire for him. So eat up, people, eat up. Get on YouTube, look at the awesome teachers and see what God's showing you. Go on our website, we got lots of free teaching. Just get the word, read the Bible, amen? Fill up. So when the enemy does come next time, you're going to totally know, I know how to talk to God. I know how to talk to God. Lord, show me what to say. Give me wisdom. What do I do here? Some of you might see this tomorrow. Some of you might go to a family get together this afternoon and need this. Amen? Lord, show me what to do. And then let's do that. How cool is that? How easy is that? How much is that available to everybody, no matter where you are in your walk with God? Amen? That's what I'm going to do. I mean, I know some of you come in here with extremely big issues and problems, and it seems overwhelming. Forget all that. Start right here. Start right here. When the enemy attacks, if he attacks, I'm not going to, what am I going to do? No, I'm just going to talk to God. I'm just going to talk to God. And then I'm going to do what he says, not what fear has me to say, not what my brain tries to have me to say. What is God putting in my spirit? And let me tell you this, when God puts something in your spirit, it starts in your heart, not your head. Because a mocking religious spirit, a tormenting spirit, and I'm not saying this for everybody, but those who open up to false spirituality can try to get up in here. And nothing is more sad than watching somebody do all the right things, but their life is a mess because they haven't connected with the headship of Jesus Christ. Amen? God has a small, still voice. When God speaks, it brings peace to everything. And you might be really afraid still on the outside, you know what I'm saying? Your circumstance probably hasn't changed. We can help our children to hear God to such a way that you don't have to worry about a bully. And we're going to have to get so real about this so that they don't get, for the enemy to constantly everywhere trying to tell people that our God does not know how to make a man and a woman, and try to cause perversion that I've never even read about in the days of Noah, and to pretend we're not in the end time, something's wrong. But am I afraid of that? No. I'm not afraid of that because we want to teach our children and our grandchildren how to know God and hear God and walk with God and how to be light in darkness. You know, you guys, the young people are going to be the ones who are going to get by more than anybody praying for their friends for this kind of stuff to get them free. I mean, we want to be that light in darkness. We want to be extreme light in an extreme dark world. And we have real answers. We have real answers. If we get it out of being everything we can sprout out at everybody with self-righteousness and become what we walk in and live in and are able to be led by the Spirit. You know, moms and dads, God is telling you, calm down and be led by him. Don't overreact. Don't react. Don't react in your parenting. Don't be a parent that reacts to what's going on. Be a parent who is led by God. That freaks your kids out sometimes. You know, like they're doing something they're expecting to get in trouble. I know none of your kids ever do this kind of, but my kids were younger. There would be times when Mitchell and Mike would be beating each other up or something they would be doing. And they're ready for us to pounce on them. And we're like, no, I just ignore for a little bit. They're like, oh no, what is she doing? And I would really go to God and I would pray, Lord, what do you want us to do? And then John would come home and we'd pray, we'd talk about it together. And sometimes we wouldn't say anything the whole day. They would be like freaking out, like, what are they up to? And then finally, whenever John felt really it was time, he would say, I need to talk with you. Oh, and my husband's, I would be more the go wild one. My husband would always, you know, it hurt him. It really did hurt him more than them. But there's so much respect they still have for him. There's so much genuine love they have for their dad. He gets greater Father's Day presents than I get Mother's Day presents. And I'm like, what is this? They both call me and say, well, Mom, you can use what we gave Dad. And because we know we didn't get you as much. I'm like, that's okay. but to see that kind of love, that developed through a much more quiet personality. But it never hurt what he did to them. But it always caused them to know how much they hurt him. And we really have very little trouble with them. And there's such love and respect now. And I'm just saying this. We've got to quit. If we want to be led by the Spirit, we have to quit reacting to our circumstances. And so Jesus is showing us this. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you're hungry for God and you're filling yourself and you're growing in God and the enemy comes in this wilderness place, he's going to try to cause you to use spiritual things out of fear or out of a need so that he can lead you. Without even knowing it, people are bowing to the enemy all the time instead of saying, no, God, show me what to do. Show me what to do. What does it look like? Amen? Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.